Welcome everyone to
Fuck. Sorry.
That's staying in. Welcome everyone to episode 7 of Around the Controller for the week of July 24th. I am your host, Mizuki, and this is the podcast where we talk about the games we've been playing and a topic of the week. This week's topic is games that surprised us in a good, bad, or narrative way, or really whatever way people interpreted that question, because I did not give very good guidelines for this. Joining me on this podcast today is the one, the only, the King Kaiser.
Shoutouts to my Apple Watch reminding me to stand up while I was trying to take a nap earlier today.
Get up, asshole.
Rocking some Parks Products merch, or Projects merch, it's Fisher King.
Shout out to that guy who blew me up for looking like Aviv Levy or Levi, the Barcelona Instagram admin. I've never felt so targeted in my entire goddamn life.
It's very good.
And our favorite legal counsel, Dapper Dan.
Shout out to Mark, by the way.
Big ups to my boy Mark.
Thank you for doing that.
We are the only people who understand that joke at this point.
There's like five of us. It's fine.
We're the only ones that need to understand that joke.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and dive in, because we spent a long time trying to fix issues before this. Zach, what have you been playing this week?
I actually have a couple games to talk about.
Oh, shit.
One is CrossCode. It's a game that I think came out 3 years ago on PC, but now it just came to consoles this last like month. It is a pixel art style action RPG. Very interesting mechanics as far as the combat goes. It's more about it's almost like a dual stick shooter in a way.
Yes.
Where you like move and shoot. Very much of like RPG mechanics, like you equip gear and like get bonuses, and there's like synergy with stuff you can put on.
It's got the sphere grid kind of.
Yeah, it has a sphere grid upgrade system. The story so far I've heard is really good, but it hasn't captured me yet. I'm only like probably 6 hours into it, but it takes place like in an MMO kind of thing. There's a lot of like fun mechanics with that it plays on. It does like an interesting thing with the main character where you're a girl, or at least you're playing a girl avatar that has amnesia, which is like, oh man, haven't seen this in a game before. But it's also funny because your character, it's like speech module hasn't loaded in, so you can't actively speak, and that's the way they do like the silent protagonist in the game. You can like you get a few words to do, like hello, goodbye, thank you, stuff like that, and you slowly unlock more. So I'm wondering if the game does the thing at one point where it gives your character a voice, and it's like, oh shit, that's not what I thought they were going to be like, but that'd be cool. I don't know what it's going to do. Probably cool. Not. Fisher knows.
You're 6 hours in. This is an indie game, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
How long is CrossCode?
I guess like 10.
Longer. Oh, really?
That's because
I'm timed to beating it because I don't remember. Nope, 30 hours.
Okay. I was under the impression this game is much longer.
I logged 32 on it on Steam.
I was going to say, I feel like that was on my list of games I might play before Ghost, and then I looked up how long it was and was like, nah, I'm okay.
As we fucking learned, I am a terrible judge of how long it takes to complete games. I have no grasp of how time works.
Like Persona 5, 20 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I looked that up, by the way. Our replay, we got through fucking Royal faster than we got through the original.
That's insane.
I mean, having played the original, that makes sense. Yeah.
You don't need to pay as much attention to the story and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Shoot, what was the other game I played this week? CrossCode and Panzer Paladin. Duh.
Okay. Again,
of course. I did a review for. I don't even want to waste time talking about it. Instead, I'll just tell you to go watch it if you haven't already. It was cool to get a developer reach out to us and say, hey, play our game, give us a review for free, and we'll give you a free game. Feels cool to be at this point, but it was a fun game. I like
moving up in the world, man. Oh.
Yeah.
But we're seriously, go check that one out.
we're about to hit 1,500 subs on the channel too, which is exciting.
Woo. Cool.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Fisher King, what you been playing?
All right, so we do this in a bi-weekly format. Up until last Friday, I was playing almost exclusively Moonlighter. it's a great game. Highly underrated in my opinion. Like, I mean, that's not that it's like supposed to be the biggest game in the world, but like if you like top-down Zelda likes and you have any interest in the Atelier franchise or the rest of your franchise, where you own a shop and sell shit, it's that. It's great. The art style is great. Combat's pretty fun. It's kind of mindless. It's a solid game. Highly recommend. It's on the Switch. You can half pay attention to it.
I've heard then, good things from that or for that.
It's
game
really good.
A lot
like,
of people.
Like it's really fun. I mean, it's just a good kind of mindless, not much story game, but you need that.
Like a podcast mm-hmm. kind of game.
It's a great podcast. Like listen to something else or just like yeah, it's a good just kind of zone out game. Mm-hmm. However you choose to do that. It's better than RuneScape. No, it's not. Sorry, I just saw High Island RuneScape on the left side of my monitor. And then Friday happened, and a little thing called Ghost of Tsushima came out. And it has consumed my time. All of it. The game kicks ass. It is beautiful. I really don't know what else to say about it other than like it is a time hole. I honestly have no idea how much time I put into it. It's probably like upwards of 20, 25 hours at this point. And I've done 5 of the mainline story quests, and I'm just doing everything else I can.
Yeah,
and it's the thing where it's like I really am not feeling the burnout on doing side shit because we talked about this actually last around the I was around the crosshairs or the controller.
Around the crosshairs is a good idea. I'm gonna write that down.
The fucking the show for my my job is in the crosshairs.
Damn it.
Anyway, we talked about how a lot of AAA games will like push themselves the cool new thing, but then you just do the same core gameplay loop 75 times in a row. This game is 100%. You go around and you do the same core gameplay loop every single time, but it's so fucking satisfying that it really hasn't bothered me yet. Like walking up to a group of Mongols, doing a standoff, slashing down 4 dudes, and then being like, fucking who wants some is so goddamn satisfying.
I mean, I'm just going to talk about this since I'm playing it now, too. Got it later than you, but I'm like 10-ish hours in, probably. Fucking PlayStation start tracking time play, Jesus Christ. We know you have it. But, like, the core gameplay loop is just fucking fun.
Yeah, it's, and the that, additions they it. Give to you, like the legendary actions and legendary weapons and shit like that, is just so fucking cool.
The actions, the weapons, the different stances are really fun to use.
Once you get Heavenly Strike, it just feels like a samurai.
Oh yeah, I got that one. That was the fucking coolest fight I think I've ever experienced in a video game, was unlocking this Heavenly Strike ability. Holy fuck. Cinematically, one of the best fights I've ever seen in a video game.
When you're walking up to the location, it's all raining and lightning, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have a bitchin' samurai fight in like, the fucking thunderstorm with this goddamn guy.
The whole theme of the quest is like building up to this final confrontation with a samurai in a lightning storm. And as you do the parts of the quest, the lightning storm's just building, getting larger, more rain.
It's great, yeah.
It's louder. This game is so fucking beautiful. I've never used photo mode in a video game by will.
You
before.
Really feel the love that went into making this an interactive Akira Kurosawa film.
You really do.
And I like that it's equal parts Ronin, Ron, Seven Samurai. Like, it's a little bit
of
everything.
It's all of it. It's literally every single Akira Kurosawa movie in a single video game.
This is a very mild spoiler, but the bit where you unlock the Heavenly Strike, when you to unlock it, you actually have to defeat the guy you're dueling with it, which is a cool little thing. And as soon as he does it, the guy gets hit by a bolt of lightning and explodes in fire. And I fucking lost my shit laughing. It's so over the top, and it's amazing.
It's great.
I love it. He just gets zapped.
And like, oh man, I cannot stress how beautiful, and not even like high resolution beautiful, like Last of Us Part 2 was beautiful for very different reasons. Like Last of Us Part 2 had very high quality textures, models, animations, and so does Ghost of Tsushima, but not on the same level.
It's weird. It's like it's stylized realism, which kind of shouldn't work, but it does.
It does. It works really well. And what I was going to say,
the title cards in that game. Mwah.
Yeah, title cards great. I've literally never used a photo mode in a video game by choice until Ghost of Tsushima. There's the ones that force you to get like achievements and shit, and I've done, but never wanted to do it. And there's literally a mountain I was climbing, and I rounded a corner, and I was just like, holy fuck. how do I use photo mode again?
It's right on the D-pad. Like that's, well, no.
I meant like that was me talking to myself.
That's another thing. It's like they're so confident in how gorgeous the game is. Like photo mode, immediate D-pad option. Like you don't even got to go into a thing.
You guys didn't take selfies next to Uncle Ben's grave in Spider-Man. The greatest use of photo mode.
That is such a good.
That was good.
That meme was great.
Oh, I'm done gushing on that for now. Anything else?
Good
for
game.
You, Fisher?
No, that was still my time. Jesus, no, it's consumed my entire life. It's just like that League of Legends. The League of Legends like Spirit Blossom event is cool.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right, Dapper, what you been playing?
So been messing around some Darkest Dungeon because it's a good thing to play a couple hours of when you get home from work and don't want to do too much. I got NBA 2K20 for as part of the Bundle for Justice. So I made a point guard named Sebastian Buttchugger, and I've been slowly working my way into the NBA.
That's fucking good,
I just
man.
Really didn't think, I didn't expect
Sebastian.
That.
Sebastian is such a good first name for that.
I know. I'm just like, yeah, what stupid name should I get?
The
guy?
Good old sea bass Buttchugger.
Just gave me. Other than that, I started playing Outer Wilds, which is really good. I'm going to talk about that during this episode, so I won't say anything more right now. And then I got a key to the Fall Guys technical beta this weekend, so I played about like an hour of Fall Guys before this episode started, and it's a guaranteed pre-order for me. It's going to be so much fucking fun.
All right.
Red.
Very nice. For me, I'm going to talk about three now, and I'm going to talk about one during the topic of the show. So first thing was, I think I was playing this last time we had this show. South Park Stick of Truth. Went through, finished that, got the platinum for it. That platinum sucks. I don't recommend doing that part. It kind of brought the game down a little. But it is a fun, funny-ass game. There's a lot of missable trophies, that's why.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, it's the Chim Pokemon thing, right?
You have to go it's not just Chim Pokemon. There's missable Chim Pokemon, equipment, friends, missable everything. So that part wasn't fun, but everything else around the game was like, it's like playing through a whole season of South Park. It was just a good time. Like, so that was a good time. I played a game recommended by one of our panelists here, Super Time Force Ultra.
Hey.
I don't think I liked it as much as you did this year. Honestly, it felt too long for me, and I only spent 3 or 4 hours playing the game.
Yeah, that's wild. I definitely did not play it all in one sitting.
Okay, I did play it all in one sitting, pretty much. But yeah, like, it was cool, very cool mechanic. We talked about it a little bit before, but basically every life that you have, you essentially create a ghost, kind of like the Mario Kart ghost, but it also attacks and does all the things that you did during your previous life. So you can use that to stack up and kill certain monsters or enemies. Like kill enemies, you can stack damage, you can use it to unlock things while going through doors, stuff like that. Unfortunately, like for me, I felt like most of it was just brute force with that, and that was the easiest answer to that mechanic most of the time. Like a lot of the bosses were very samey, and the answer was just die a lot so that you can deal more damage.
Yes.
And replay the same 35, 40 seconds of combat like 20 times. Which got definitely taking a break would probably been a better idea, but played through it. And it was fun. It's a cool mechanic. I wish they had done some of their puzzle solving that they used in the later game with it, like throughout the whole game. Would have been more fun that way. But they didn't. So that's a bummer. And like Fisher, a lot of time since, unfortunately, Tuesday for me, but Ghost of Tsushima.
You're a physical copy fool. That's all I have to say to you.
Not a physical copy fool, a collector's edition fool.
I'd argue that's worse.
I didn't say it was better. But collector's edition's dope. Like, that mask is cool, and I got, like, some nifty flags and maps and stuff. So I'm super down with it. I just wish I had the game.
Flag is very cool.
The flag was... There's, like, two flags? It was weird, but, generally, just cool. Totally recommend. If you do buy a collector's edition during COVID, don't get it from Amazon. Pre-order it from GameStop and pick it up. Amazon will not ship it on time, I guarantee it.
GameStop won't be out the next time a collector's edition for a game comes out.
That's, you know, that's fair. I mean, you think they'll make it to November? You think the Cyberpunk collector's editions will make it?
I'm sure they will.
Sorry. I'm not. I guess they'll hold out for the new console releases and try and make a quick buck. The last game I'm going to save for the topic of the show, which is games that have surprised us. So I'm going to start just because I will forget to mention. The other game I've been playing, between Last of Us and Ghost, is an old-ass game that's on PC and a couple of the older consoles called Vampire the Masquerade Bloodline.
That's so wild. I literally was just talking about that game with somebody for reasons I think you're actually going to talk about.
Huh. Well, so it's based for, I imagine, most people, because fucking no one bought this game and Troika went under for it.
What game was this? Sorry, I totally zoned out.
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Oh my god.
There is a sequel coming out, probably this year, maybe next year.
A highly anticipated sequel.
Highly anticipated sequel. This game is
it a sequel or is it a reboot based off the RPG?
It says two, so I'm gonna say it's a sequel, and they're bringing back some of the characters and factions, so I'll say it's a sequel. Jesus, just in a different.
I would say that it was highly anticipated until people saw the latest trailer.
Well, the latest trailer didn't even have gameplay; it was just fucking weird.
I don't think people like the art style.
I didn't like the trailer. I'm fine with the art style, but basically. This game is based on a tabletop RPG called World of Darkness, specifically Vampire the Masquerade, which takes place in World of Darkness, and it's a brutal vampire RPG. Play as a vampire, basically eat humans, and you fight other vampire and mystical shit, which is exactly what this game is. And for a game that is so broken, like, there are so many technical issues with it. It's infamous for it, to the point where to even really play it on modern PCs, you have to download a community patch. There's no other way that it'll run at the moment. So getting it started is a rough trip. Once you get there. So funnily enough, the pitch that they did before it became Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines was for a Fallout game. They initially pitched for a Fallout license, which this game is basically better Fallout when it comes to the dialogue and RPG options. When it comes to the combat, it's bad.
Somehow,
like, I'm not gonna.
Fallout's actually better.
I'm not gonna sugar. I mean, this game's also from like 2004, but
yeah,
like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat. The combat's pretty fucking terrible. You're better off taking, like, one of the powers immobilizing people and then just, like, one-shotting them before even trying to get into a... But, like, the RPG elements are almost unmatched even by modern games. Like, I think Mass Effect and Fallout come kind of close in their approach to the systems that this game used. But, like, the dialogue options are perfect. They don't do that thing in Fallout where they'll show you a couple dialogue options that are like, oh, if you had Intimidate leveled up enough, you could use this thing. They just don't show you if you don't have the skill. Really nice. They do a very good job of integrating all of their different social skills, of which there are, like, five or six. So, like, you can use Seduction, you can use Intimidation, Persuasion. They all act differently with different people. And you can use it to, I mean, you're a vampire, you literally have to feed off the NPCs to stay alive and heal and everything. And if you get caught, you can die. So you can literally just, like, if you're a man or woman, you can seduce opposite gender. This is old, they don't do the gay stuff, which hopefully, I think they've confirmed they're going to have some of that. But, so it's just cool, you can just, like, honestly seduce someone and then go into a back room, bite them, take their blood, and then get on with your day. But The RPG elements are great. There's a lot of characters that are written really well and really unexpectedly. I imagine most of you probably won't play this, so and it's like 16 years old. There's a character...
I thought about it, but I'm not going to. Yeah.
There's a character that has dual personality syndrome, so they've got like they're fucking crazy as shit, but you don't know. And the game does a very good job of masking it. Like the first time you meet them, you're outside the door and you hear them arguing with themselves, but it sounds like two different people. And when you go in the room, the bathroom's locked, and the one woman's just like, "Oh, my sister's in there. We just had a big argument." And like, I didn't catch on like right until the reveal of like, you go into her office and she's got the makeup and hair from one character on one side, almost like Two-Face, and then the makeup and hair from the other, her other half on the other side. And I'm like, "Oh, you're not okay. Oh my God, you're insane." And they just have a ton of moments like that, that I just don't expect. And a lot of different options. There's a ton of different endings for the game. A lot of the like Fallout and Mass Effect Dream things where it's like, I wish this game had multiple endings. This game does have multiple endings. You can live and be totally fine. I got blown up by a bunch of C4 in a sarcophagus. So
that's hilarious. Happens to the best of us.
I got screwed over by a guy I thought was my friend up until the end of the game, and then he blew me up. Damn. And I was like, fuck, probably should have saw that coming. But it's just really cool. All the characters are really well done. I can't believe it's such a like double A game.
It also has the one level that's like legitimately considered like one of the best horror levels in a game, right?
It has two that I think you could put in that. There's a haunted mansion. That it was just fucking spooky. Like,
I want to say it was like the hotel.
Yeah, level. It's the Oceanside Hotel.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that I wasn't expecting to get creeped out, and I was sufficiently. I wasn't like amnesia levels of like creeped out, but it was definitely unsettling, and I was like on edge the whole time, which I haven't seen in a game that's not a horror game for them. And they had another one where you're in the mansion of a like crazy old vampire who's completely lost his mind, and there's literally a bunch of humans with like masks and knives in the corner crying because they're all fucking insane, and like if you attract their attention they attack you, and everything in the mansion's all fucked up. It's crazy. It was a great game. I really enjoyed it. It's just this would probably honestly be a 9 or 10 for me if it weren't so fucking buggy, but even with the patch it's buggy.
What drove you to play this game this week?
Oh, my sister's been bugging me for years to play.
Oh, okay.
So I've played the tabletop RPG with her, and she's just like, "You need to play the game." And I was like, "Okay, how do I play it?" And then she explained the community patch, and I was like, "Pass." And then she kept bugging me. And then like I finished Last of Us Part 2, I was going through the backlog, and I was like, "I need like a 20-ish hour game. This game is 20-ish hours. I'm gonna do it now before the next one comes out too. So if there's tie-ins, I'll understand them." That's kind of what drew.
Real quick, Rolling K Fan points out a really great topic that I would love to revisit for a later episode: horror game elements in non-horror games.
The piano from Mario 64. That is good.
that's a good one, though. All right,
that's a really good.
I talked way too long about that game. Zach, why don't you give us another one?
I mean, I can just pick. I can just go faster down some. One that I should have talked about for the Hidden Gem episode is Pocket Card Jockey. This is a game I don't think anybody has ever heard of. It's
Pocket
actually made by
Card Jockey?
Pocket Card Jockey.
No, I've never heard of this. Go ahead.
This is actually made by Game Freak, the makers of Pokemon. Came out on the 3DS. It is basically a solitaire / horse racing sim, if that makes any sense at all. Raise horses. Yeah, I know. You raise horses, and basically like they compete, you compete with them until they lose a race, and then it's like, oh, once they lose, they then like you can use the resources you've accrued to try and get like another horse for them to breed with, and then they get like stats that their child then has like different stats, and you like bring them into the next like series of races. The actual races, the way the racing works is you, depending on how long the race is, you'll have to do like a series of different solitaire, like rapid fire solitaire. And depending on how fast you solve the solitaire puzzle, your horse gets like that much of a boost in the race. And then also you get to like draw where your horse is going to race like ahead of time. And it's like, go. And then all the horses move. And depending on like where you drew for your horse to run, like you can get blocked out by other horses and get completely screwed over. And it is bullshit and get very upset. But most of the time the game is really, really fun. I heard about it. I actually think on an episode of the Besties, and I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I was like, holy shit. Like it was a $6 game on the 3DS and absolutely blew my mind. I'm into like card, like little quick card games I can play on my phone. Like I still to this day, every now and then we'll play solitaire on the subway. And just like, if this was on mobile, holy moly. You'd never hear from me again.
Literally had no idea Game Freak had done anything that wasn't Pokemon.
They recently did another game too.
Yeah. They did Town recently.
Yeah.
They also did Rambo the Bad, or not Rambo. Something Bo the Badass Elephant.
They like Rochambeau?
That was the actual name of the
game.
Oh,
yeah. I remember that.
And there was the game they did before Pokemon that was like
Tembo the Badass Elephant.
Tembo, yeah. Every now and then they do like a weird off game, and it's like, listen, just let us make a game that isn't Pokemon. We have more money than Sin. And this one was fantastic, and I really loved it. So can't really, I don't think there's a great way to play it now, unless you pull out your 3DS, but I really recommend it if you can.
Cool. Fisher, what you got?
I'm going to go off on a fucking tear. I'm gonna talk about a game that I am almost certain I'm the only person in this call that has played. I'm gonna talk about Dawn Gate. Anybody remember Dawn Gate?
We talked about this the other day, so
yes, I know. Yes. I talked about it yesterday. I'm literally bringing it up so I can plug the Kickstarter. Shut up. Okay, so cast your minds back to the golden age of MOBAs. Heroes of New Earth is still alive. People still care about Smite. Strife is a thing that is trying to happen. Dota 2 is actually popular outside of people that are insane Dota heads, and League is the most popular game in the world. That last part is still the case, unimportant. Everyone's favorite company, EA, announces, fuck it, we're doing a MOBA 2. Here, it's out now, Dawn Gate. And everyone's like, no thanks, you're EA. Except, here's the thing, it kicked fucking ass. Dawn Gate was a MOBA like MOBAs are, but it had a couple of really awesome things going for it, mostly in like how the champion design, sort of the way the game encouraged you to break the set rules of a MOBA. One thing being that at the beginning of the game, you get to pick your role. And that's not in the same way of like modern MOBAs. You're like, I'm going top lane. You actually assign yourself one of four archetypes, which dictates how you can generate money throughout the game. So you can decide, I'm playing this game as Gladiator, which means you get more money from killing minions, or Tactician, which means you get more money from dealing damage intermittently to enemy champions. Shapers, that's what it's called. But stuff like that. The map was really interesting. It had a progressive central mob like the Baron in League, but it's called the Parasite, that levels up as the game progresses, so it's harder to kill but worth more as the game goes on. The objectives like turrets and nexuses are actually living creatures that fight back against you. It was awesome. It had a lot of really interesting things, and then EA fucking canceled it as it was getting more popular for no fucking reason. And there is a Kickstarter out now to revive it. And I only mention this because I have no faith in Kickstarters usually because they're terrible, but this one has already blown way the fuck past its goal. It's nearly doubling its goal as we speak. I'm just saying, go out there. If you're wondering what happened to the team that made it, most of them now work for Riot Games. Bard is a tribute character to Dawn Gate. That's not a joke.
Huh. Oh, that's funny.
Other characters include like Kindred, who her little symbol is part of the game, the symbol from the old game. Bard's face, the Bard mask, is the Dawn Gate symbol.
Interesting.
Wow.
So, how is the Kickstarter? Is EA making the Kickstarter? How
no,
the fuck's that working?
The money is to buy the license from EA.
Who's buying the license?
There's been, ever since it closed, there's been a fan-run, what do you call it, like bootleg called Shrine of Imana, which is just like they ripped files of the game so you can keep playing it. But the team has been like growing, and they've actually been like working on it on their own, and they're trying to actually acquire the rights now so they can continue to update and like make the game public and shit like that. Because right now you can't legally play it. Oh no, here's a link with all the files. Oops-a-daisy.
I just hate when that happens.
It's crazy. Who's keeping these servers up? Man,
dude, how fucking wild would that be if someone who was bootlegging a game bought the license from the publisher and then...
I don't think that's ever happened,
but Jesus. Yeah,
when you said Shrine of Amana, I was like, isn't that the thing from Dark Souls
3? It is a location in Dark Souls 2. Shrine of
it's Amana, like Amana.
Yeah, the guys at Studio Wayfinder are behind this. Support them. Help bring this game back that I want.
good plug.
Do Fisher King's bidding for him.
Bridge, what you got?
Told you that a group of people from 4chan got together and made a video game.
Oh, fuck, I know what this is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did they make a video game? They made a visual novel.
Oh, God.
A visual novel that has potential to be one of the cringiest freaking things ever. And what if I told you that visual novel is actually really, really fucking good?
It is.
It's a good pull.
That's Katawa Shujo.
Yeah.
And it's literally a group of people on 4chan got together, made the studio, and made a visual novel where you end up in a school full of people with disabilities, and the five different girls you can date all have different disabilities. And it is something that if someone told me it was happening right now, I would be like, oh, neat, the cringiest, most grossest thing that's ever been created. Nice, classic 4chan.
It's internally cringe.
But Katawa Shujo is a surprisingly heartfelt and well-written game.
Actually good, yeah.
Like, a surprisingly good visual novel with a lot of care to it. The sensitive subject matter is handled really well. Again, especially for just a bunch of random people working together.
Yeah, again, if you had mentioned 4chan anywhere in the rest of the sentence, I'd just be like, how is this possible?
Right. No, it doesn't seem like a thing that should exist, but it does.
It does.
And, like, you could even do, like, the censored version and actually not lose much of, like, the character development. So even if you want to get away from, like, the 8 scenes. But, again, it was, like, it came out back in 2012. I've definitely played it. I definitely played every round at least 3 times.
Wow.
Damn.
So really, really good visual novel. It's like probably right behind Steins Gate for my favorite visual novel.
It fucking slaps. I can confirm.
Soundtrack's pretty dope too, actually. So yeah, that was one that, again, if you ever explain the background to it, I'd never believe you. But Katawa Shujo is a very good visual novel that you can still pick up for free.
That's such a fucking good pool, dude.
That was
good. I was thinking of after my Hidden Gems game, and I don't know why I didn't use it.
I do want to note that they released that thing like a year or two after it came out that said it's like 80% of people chose the two girls without physical deformation.
Yeah.
Which is cowards. Cowards, all of you.
They are cowards. I agree with that.
I think the worst route I got was falling off the roof with the guy who was basically blind.
Dude, the ultimate dad route.
Oh, the perv guy?
Yeah.
getting drunk with the crazy men's right activist conspiracy theorist and falling off a roof and dying.
Doesn't he at one point like try to warn the main protagonist that he's in a harem anime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Like the whole, and like even that ending, like, what Dapper just described sounds like, oh, you chose a fucking horrible thing where you're ending up with this men's rights activist. No, that's not how you end up there. Like, you're stuck there and you're trying to leave and then you die.
I think the moral of the story, if you hang out with men's rights activists, you will fall off a roof and die. It's really hard to get that ending because it's really hard to piss off all 5 of the girls enough where none of them want to hang out with you.
You really have to go for it. Did they ever release a sequel to that?
No, studio. They never, like, they did it, but they don't, like, ever really want to do anything else together. Not that it was like bad blood, but they're just like, eh, that's all I want to do. Mission accomplished.
I prefer that.
Honestly. I respect that, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. For the next round, I got a negative one. I got a very negative one. So, if you've watched previous episodes of this podcast, you know that my favorite game of all time in Tales of Symphonia. You know that this is true. And honestly, almost every Tales game I've played has at least been fine. Might not be great, it's at least fine. There's an exception to that. And this was the bad surprise, guys. Tales of Symphonia, Dawn of the New World. The Tales of Symphonia sequel.
I try every time.
You know, when that got announced, I was like, I love Tales of Symphonia. I'm 100% down for a sequel. It was a mistake. It was a mistake to make. It was a crime against humanity to make. It was painful to play. The gameplay is not good. It's one of the worst in all the Tales series. For whatever reason, it's Pokemon. And all of the legendary heroes from the first game are more worthless than the random hedgehog you find in the very beginning of the game. That is not even an exaggeration at all. Zero exaggeration.
Yeah, Sonic, baby.
Oh, no, not like a cool hedgehog. Like a lame hedgehog.
Because when I hear Sonic, I think cool hedgehog.
I was going to say, I was like, you're implying that Sonic is cool.
I mean, old fat Sonic was pretty cool, dude. I'm not going to lie.
Chili dogs, man.
It was great. Chili dogs. But yeah, that was probably like, with all the Tales games I've played, I was like, they can't fuck this up that bad. Not possible. I was surprised at how bad that could be. RK fan in the chat saying thought it was Psychonauts. Nah, dude, I was too dumb as a kid. Nothing surprised. That's it. Zach, what's your next one?
That's it.
Yeah, actually, all right. I'm taking a detour. I was going to take a negative one. I'm going to talk about a positive one, because being a kid in a time before the internet was everywhere, before we had information at the touch of our fingertips, I want to talk about Pokemon Gold and Silver. When you got to the end of that game,
you beat the
Elite Four. Which, first off, I should say, I do remember being the jump in levels getting to the Elite Four being an absolute bitch. I'm pretty sure there's like a 10 level difference between the eighth gym leader and the Elite Four.
Gotta grind in that victory road, dude.
It sucked grinding there. Yeah, but man, when you beat that and it was like, oh, take this train, and you take the train, and you're like, holy shit, I'm in Pallet Town. What? And then you play through the entire map from Red and Blue. That was magical. That was incredible. Again, I mean, you could go through most of those places pretty quickly, even though like the gym leaders were beefed up to kind of match you, but they were still pretty simple. At that point, you're like end game. So like, no matter what, you can just pull out like a level 60 Pokemon. And as long as you have a type advantage, you'll steamroll anything. But also, fun fact about that, the only way that was able to happen was due to Satoru Iwata basically figuring out how to save space on the game cartridge to fit the whole map to, I think it's Kanto was the first, or is it Johto?
Kanto was the first.
Whatever
the second.
Yeah, okay. So the whole Kanto region, and fit that on the tiny original Game Boy cartridge, which is just... It was wild. And then yeah, to be able to go into the cave where you originally fought Mewtwo and find Red, who was the player character in the first game.
Yeah.
That was a decision. Just, I mean, I have chills talking about it right now, because it's just such a wild, and I can't think of, I mean, something like that will never happen again in video games. A moment like that just physically can't happen again. So
there were rumors of it when Red Dead 2 was happening, that they were going to hide all of Red Dead 1 in it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were like making a joke because the Pokemon trainer's name was Red. And I was like, you're gonna go into a cave and all of a sudden a mouse electrocutes
it's a bit
me.
In Red Dead 1 where he opens the barn doors, but instead Red's just there and he's just like, no.
And just the Venusaur just comes in and just destroys John Marsden.
Just bullet seed.
Oh, dude, that'd be so good. I mean, I kind of remember those rumors of just, like, the file size, I think, leaked for how big Red Dead 2 was, and people were like, there's no way that's all Red Dead 2.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I do remember
and
that.
And then, fun fact, it was.
Spoilers.
That game is long and not very fun. That's also one of my... I wrote that for a disappointing game, but disappointing surprise was Red Dead 2, but...
I intentionally didn't. We've talked about that enough, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
An arcade fan, that's why Psychonauts isn't on my list, because I talked about that literally to death, and will continue to.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 2, which isn't coming out.
Hey, got him.
He'd boot me from the show, but it would fuck up the camera.
It wouldn't. No, we got OBS Ninja now, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You can't silence me. I'll still be here.
I mean, I can silence you very easily.
I can hold things up.
What's your next one, Fisher?
A whiteboard.
Let's go with another negative one. Let's be negative with this piece. Let's talk about Dragon Age 2. The fucking redheaded stepchild of the Dragon Age franchise. If you played Dragon Age 1, it was a relatively competent RPG. It was a bit differently styled than a lot of the RPGs we were being given at the time. More like the 3D styling, the open worldness of it. Not that open world RPGs is common, but it was a little more modern. It was a lot more Western, which is good considering most RPGs are as Japan as Japan gets. And then they announced Dragon Age 2, and everyone's like, woo! And then it comes out, and it sucks massive hog. Dragon Age 2 is such a disappointment because it's like they don't understand why people like the first one. And so they're like, let's just overload this with story beats. And what's popular at the time? Branching paths and decision making. Let's add that, but it won't actually matter in the end because you have to fight the same bosses and shit anyway. And then let's give it a fucking Mass Effect 3 flip the switch ending where... You basically, regardless of all your decisions up until this point, you basically pick which side is good. Is it the magic side or the anti-magic side? And they're both dicks.
It's like modern world politics.
Yeah. But like it's literally like, do you want the racist side that is it like all magic users are evil, or do you want the not racist side who is like we should use our magic to kill people? And it's like, no, I want neither of you. I want you both to shut the fuck up.
No, sounds like the classic choice between the racists and the SJWs.
Yes, exactly. Just bad writing. And it's like it's the least existent. Like it's like it doesn't even exist as far as Dragon Age goes. People just ignore it. Because Inquisition's good and one is good.
As they should.
Yeah. that game, if memory serves correct, I think had like a year and a half turnaround time because EA was like, make us another one, boys.
And it's also they did the thing where your main character, they just call them by like a title the entire time to avoid dealing with your gender or your fucking like the name you chose. So every fucking like dialogue bit, I think is it Raven they call you?
That's the BioWare way, man. Commander Shepard.
But Commander Shepard works because
it's still the name.
Because that's their last name and it's the title. You can also just call them Shepard. Every time they say it's the same trick. Or like you or anything, they just say Raven, 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 Raven. It's very disconcerting.
Yeah, that's a.
I want to make sure that annoying. It's right. Hawk, even worse.
Hawk. Yeah, Hawk is worse. I agree on that.
Hello, Hawk.
That just doesn't sound good.
Side note, the voice for the male Hawk is Nicholas Button.
Nice.
She's a great name.
I was going to say, I actually knew a guy named Hawk once. He was really cool.
Named Tony?
His last name was Hawkins, but he went by Hawk, and I have no idea what his first name was.
Fuck, I wish I was cool enough to go by Hawk.
Yeah.
Was his name Trip?
Trip no. Hawkins?
Yeah, no, he would not be founder of EA.
Oh, man. Zephyr, give us another game.
Rip this Band-Aid off. You know, that game surprised me on how bad it is.
No, I don't know.
It's Dark Souls.
Dark
Souls surprised me on how bad it is. I was really late to the game, to playing Dark Souls. When it first came out, everyone talked about it so much, and I didn't have a system to play it. But, like, everyone wouldn't shut up about it, or how it, like, changed the game because it was so difficult. And I'm like, man, people will not shut up about this game. So I eventually got around to playing it. And I tried it on, like, a friend's, like, 360 and played it for a little bit. I'm like, yeah, it's not exactly my thing, but it seems all right. Then I later got it, the Prepare to Die edition for Steam, and actually fully played it. And, man, it was a really bad game. Like, pretty much everything about it was bad. The fact that it doesn't give you any guidance on where to go, so you just wander around into enemies you can't beat. The camera angles, the camera work all sucks. The way you interact with environments is janky as shit. Enemy AI is horribly inconsistent. There's a magic system that's never explained. It makes no sense. Because they wanted to do that, it's single player, people can invade you. I couldn't pause the game. And like, for a game that punishes you a lot when dying, it really sucks to like have a phone call and I just have to die because I can't fucking pause the game. Great feature. And you know what's great about that invasion system? When you're playing the game for 20 minutes, but it's been out for like 7 years, and some guy who's been playing it for his entire life invades you and kills you in one hit. Wow, fucking fun system. I literally went into offline mode in Steam just so I could play that game and not get invaded. Because it was a stupid system. It's a stupid game.
A lot of people do that.
And
yeah.
Spoiler alert, it didn't set the bar for difficult video games. Video games have always been that difficult. It just didn't give you difficulty options. That's all it did. It's just addition by subtraction, which isn't innovation. Just a shitty game. Surprised at how I like almost nothing about that game, and yet everyone talks about how good it is. Like, none of it.
It's probably the most important game that came out last decade, but we'll have to agree to disagree
on
that.
It's definitely not. Just because you only have one difficulty option does not mean you were important or did something new. Again, there's no addition by subtraction here.
I don't want to get into this conversation. I don't think it reinvented the world by being hard, but
I hate that argument about why the Souls games are good. They're not good because they're hard.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
they're also it's also a hard game because it's a clunky mess.
That is very true.
You're not wrong on that part, and I will not defend the jank of Dark Souls. So
thank you for using the proper term.
Yeah. but that super sucks that you had a rough time with it. Definitely coming into that game late and with the way the invade system works.
I will also say those games age like absolute dog shit except for Bloodborne.
It's not super fun to go back and play them. I will say that for sure.
No.
I literally haven't touched any of the closest thing to a Dark Souls game I played was Jedi Fallen.
Played every Souls game except Demon.
Well, now's your chance.
I won't, because I played the Dark Souls remaster and that thing sucked absolute dick.
Did Bluepoint do that one?
I don't fucking know. No.
No. No, I'm excited for Demon Souls. I'm excited.
We'll see. I'm hesitantly interested.
We'll see. I guess it's my turn.
Do we want to do like one more quick round?
Yeah, let's try and speed through.
Okay, I got a good one that I don't think anyone else is going to have. PlayStation 2 had a lot of really cool JRPGs with a bunch of weird shit in them. One of those games, and this kind of goes along the line of stuff Zach brought up earlier. Just trying a game as a kid and being like, man, what is this game? Picking out of the bargain bin for like $4. I picked up a game called Grandia 3. Had a 3 on it. I was like, this has got to be cool, right? And surprisingly...
What does having a 3 make it good?
That means it's like... It's the sequel paradigm where like... You got past 1, so it's sold enough that it's probably not utter trash. Which, as an adult now, I know that is inherently not true. Having a 2 or a 3 on a game does not make it good.
Yeah, Shenmue.
If anything, it might make it worse. Shenmue. But so
I mean, I would argue that maybe even Shenmue 1 wasn't great, guys, but sure.
For the time, it was fine.
Do you know where I can buy the disclaimers?
Thank you for that.
Do you know anyone that speaks the language of Chinese?
But Grandia 3 is one of those JRPGs that did just really cool stuff with their battle system. The story was like pretty standard milquetoast JRPG. Nothing fancy. Same with the characters. Nothing fancy. Battle system did some fucking cool shit that I'm surprised JRPGs haven't used since then. It used a variation on kind of like the active time battle system where you can actually see the timers of your enemies the whole time. So you know when they're going to attack, whether they're going to go next, whether you're going to go next as it's progressing. And they also actually use, in a turn-based system, they use the actual map and terrain to affect the time battle part. So you can do like AoE attacks or certain attacks that'll reduce enemies on the time chart. You can put things on the ground that slow the enemies so they're lower on the time chart. And it just ends up being like a really cool battle experience. AoEs get very interesting because sometimes you have to queue up your stuff before you know what the enemy's going to do. And it can be frustrating at times, but like overall, it's a generally pretty cool, interesting system. Like just the time, the map, the like delay ends up, you get some cool stuff that happens that you're like, ooh, didn't expect to hit all five of the enemy and they're all dead. And then you also get some where it's like, I just burned all my mana and I hit one guy instead of all of them. Well, that's a bummer. So it's definitely got its hits and misses, but overall, just a pretty good JRPG that really surprised me for knowing nothing about it at all.
I actually have played Grandia 2. Also, yeah, the battle system in that was really great. Unfortunately, my CD, I bought a used copy of it and my CD was scratched. And so I got about 20 hours into the game, could not finish it.
No.
Really,
that's just
sucked.
Sad, but you're familiar with it then. The battle system's a slight change on 2 from what I understand.
Yeah, it was very cool. I like it.
But Grandia died after that game, so. Never to come back.
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm looking like it seems to have sold pretty well. I wonder why they didn't continue.
I don't know. And as far as I know, the games weren't actually like story related. They're just mechanically related.
Right. It's a fucking FF system.
Who made those games? Who made Grandia? Who owns that game?
Game Arts and published by Squeen.
Okay, it's published by Squeen.
Square has like just a very brief 1 minute tangent. Square has the licenses for a fuck ton of games that were fantastic on PlayStation 1 and 2 that they just decided never to do anything with.
Oh, I stand corrected. They are still making Grandia.
Oh, wait, really?
Well, they did a reboot of Grandia in 2010, which was like a chibi version, and then they did a Grandia HD collection as recently as last year.
Oh,
I do remember them re-releasing.
Oh, that's right. They re-released it, but they haven't done any new games.
They made a ton of Vita games. They were one of those.
Well, I just mean like Grandia, Xenogears, like Front Mission, I think, was Squeen.
Front Mission's so fucking good, dude.
I know. And like Threads of Fate and Vagrant Story. There's so many from that time that they could pull up, but that they never will. But
I cannot believe there's not a fucking Front Mission collection I can pay money for somewhere.
Because no one in the U.S. bought it. Fuck, what you got, Zach?
Okay, can I... This is a little bit cheating because it's related to hardware. It's similar to the scratch CD situation. It's a hardware failing me, so it completely ruined my experience with the game.
Is that really a surprise if the hardware failed?
Say what it is.
You know, just fuck it, whatever.
Okay, because the game is Final Fantasy X, a game beloved by many. My experience with this game is tainted, though, because this was the year that I came to the game late. I actually won it at a Dave and Buster's, if that is the most wild thing of like 2000s time period.
I got a different one for after you're done, but yeah.
But at this point in time, it was impossible to buy a PlayStation 2 memory card. They just were all sold out. You could not get them. I later looked this up. Apparently, there was like a hardware shortage of like the.
Oh, actually, what thing. The fuck?
Yeah, they were seriously gone. And eventually, after going from store to store, I finally found one, but it was the most jank memory card I've ever seen in my entire life. You had to put this, so the memory card was in, you had to put in a special CD for your PlayStation 2 to recognize the memory card, then open, like eject it, and then put the game in and close it. It was absolute bonkers.
Did you have to do that every time you used it?
Every single time. Every single
time. Oh, God.
That's
okay.
Infuriating.
It was just absolute dog trash. And so okay, I finally find this thing. I make sure I read the instructions, do everything cool, load up Final Fantasy X. I start playing the game. And, you know, you're going through the weird swimming area, whatever. You meet. I can't remember her name, blonde chick. I want to say Riku, but
that's... Oh, blonde chick's Riku, yes. Yeah.
It is Riku. Okay, I was like, that's Kingdom Hearts, but no, it's also both. Riku.
It's also Tetsuya Nomura.
Yeah. Why did he reuse the same name?
Because he sucks. Anyway. What do you want?
Wait, no, I don't but like the guy. Does Riku and Kingdom Hearts only have 1K?
Correct. Oh,
there you go. They're different names. Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, guess what? Riku also appears in Kingdom Hearts, motherfucker.
I know.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say she's also in that game, right? Yeah.
And they never address the weird naming problem.
Yeah. Okay. But so I get to a save point, and I hit the save button. I find a save point, hit save, and it's like, oh, sorry, can't read the memory card. And I'm like, huh. Okay. And I keep playing, and again, I'm a dumb kid. I play this game for about 6 hours in one sitting. And yeah, I tried to save it again. No, I can't save, dog. And so I turn it off. And yeah, I can't save. And
just leave it running.
Yeah. Hey, this does not count for this topic, by the way.
Here's the most buck wild thing. I looked this up later. Apparently, there was about 4 games that this specific memory card could not save. And Final Fantasy X was one of them.
Weird. No, this does not count, but this was a weird topic.
Okay, then just... fine. Mario Kart Tour was disappointing. But it had a chance to be cool, but they dicked it real hard, guys. There you go.
I'm going to swear for a sec because I want to tell this one. So you won Final Fantasy X at David Buster, right?
Uh-huh.
So the entire reason I got into Fire Emblem was because I wrote in on one of those postcards to the Nintendo Power Game of the Year Awards.
No way.
And I won, and they fucking sent, like, whatever year that came out, they sent me a package that had Fire Emblem, Ikaruga, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, and maybe another game. And the whole reason I got into Fire Emblem as a series is because fucking Nintendo just sent it to me.
That's dope.
That's actually rad as fuck, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta start writing my uncle that works at Nintendo.
All right, Fisher, you're up.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Sleeping Dogs, motherfuckers.
Yes, that was on my list, and I didn't get to talk
Hell
about
yeah.
it.
Hell yeah. So Sleeping Dogs is a GTA clone based in Hong Kong. And you play a guy named Wei Shen. Wei Shen, motherfucker, who you? He's the best. Who is an undercover cop investigating the triads in Hong Kong. And it is a fucking GTA-ass GTA clone. You drive around, you steal cars, you punch dudes. But it just because it's Hong Kong, there's very, very little gunplay. It's almost entirely kung fu, and it fucking kicks ass. And you basically have two different disciplines. You can go more into like a triad, like a crooked cop, or more into a straight-laced cop. And you get different varieties of kung fu based upon how you do that. And it fucking rules. I don't know how this game, which, like, look, it appears to be a GTA clone. There's not a lot going on. It's kind of got Emma Stone in it for some reason.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wei can date various girls. Kind of like GTA 4. You can date various ladies as Nico.
San Andreas, too, I think.
And San Andreas, yeah. She's one of the dateable characters for some fucking reason.
Like not actually... She's not playing herself,
No, she's...
Right?
No. She's playing some girl... in Hong Kong for a reason I don't remember.
Okay.
It's got a somewhat realistic like they stole like parts of Hong Kong are actually like one-to-one, parts of it are super fucking not. because they didn't do the whole set of islands for obvious reasons because it's fucking huge. The game fucking rules. The soundtrack kicks ass. It's all like fucking Chinese rap. It fucking rules. It's just a really fun game. It's a cool setting you don't see a lot of. It sold super well. There was supposed to be a live action version of it, which I don't think ever happened.
Would have been good, honestly.
Yeah, fucking Donnie Yen was supposed to be Wei Shen.
That would have been so good.
And I'll watch Donnie Yen do anything.
Maybe not now, but generally before, yeah.
Fucking Rogue One, dog.
Yeah, well, now he's super pro communist.
Oh, he is.
He's one of those unfortunate ones.
That's every Chinese actor, unfortunately.
For the most part, yeah. Well, he's one of the most outspoken ones. Like, there's some that are like, the CCP's cool. Out. He's like out there standing for them every day, sort of. So he's pretty bad. Sleeping Dogs is literally the best GTA campaign that exists.
Yeah, the campaign is also really good, and I think the way they handle how Wei Shen becomes either a crooked cop or a good cop is really well done.
And I believe you get choice in that too, right?
So you accrue triad or cop, basically hidden points in the background. But then you also get decisions, which give you a massive number of points.
Yep.
So if you want to use all the cool triad like moves because they're fucking way cooler, like you get to fucking throw dudes into one of them is if you're near a fish tank because it's got like Yakuza-esque like environment attacks, you can take a fish out and hit a motherfucker with it, which kicks so much fucking ass.
Amanda's no shit right there.
Yeah, really. but you can still like choose to be a good cop because the best way to play that game is to absolutely just fucking use the insane like brutalities and then be a good cop.
Like, I'm good. I only use the brutality on the evil.
Exactly. Oh, fuck Dog Eyes. Dog Eyes is the first axe, like, main villain in that. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
He talks shit about your dead sister.
Yeah, he's a dick. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Oh, man. I'm glad you brought that one up. Fridge, what you got?
All right. So I'm only 3 hours into this game, and I mentioned at the beginning, but I am surprised how quickly I've taken to Outer Wilds. I think a good time loop, like game or movie, is a rarity, but when it's done well, it's really cool. And I think this game does a really good job of just sort of throwing you into the deep end, but in a way that's like very, like it's not.
You can actually pause the game.
Exactly. I can pause the game. Amazing feature. but no, I love the fact that it's just like, you don't really, like, again, even though, like, a lot of people in our chat have talked about it, I was able to avoid, like, not learning anything about this game. So I went in completely blind to it. So I'm, like, I sort of, like, you know, you start the game, you wake up, I explored the entire village, stuff was happening, and then I died. And then I'm back at the beginning. And I'm, like, oh, okay. Oh, cool, I don't need to go get the launch codes again. I can just go right to exploring. And then I go, and then I do something stupid and die. But then I'm back again. And it's just really cool the way that, like, every little mystery you discover then, like, branches out to, like, three more mysteries. It's so much of, like, finding so many more every time you think you find an answer, you just find more questions. Mm-hmm. And the slow sort of development of the exploration, the story, it's been a very fun 3 hours of this game. And I'm very looking forward to doing more of it. I think the time loop mechanic is played really well. I think the way it just sort of lets you have free reign to explore at whatever pace and speed and order you want has made for a very good experience. And I'm looking forward to games like 12 Minutes and Deathloop that might also make good use of time loop mechanics because I think
about
sense, they can be really, really, really fun.
Sorry, the more I think about Outer Wilds, the more I think that's kind of what they were hoping to accomplish with No Man's Sky. You have planets that you know nothing about, basically, and you go there and you discover more about them, and you basically come to your own style of conclusion about like what the war, what the system, what the universe, what the world is like.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It just goes to show, if you script that and do it in a tight, neat, clever way, it's a lot better than saying, there's the universe, go out and get it. Although we all know No Man's Sky is apparently good now, but that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So I heard somebody on the internet call it a Metroidvania of knowledge, and I was like, damn, that's a fucking
That's a good term. Yeah.
Because it's exactly the thing. Like, once you know something, like, you have it. Like, it's you know it. And but ultimately, if you know everything and you restart the game, you can beat it in literally the first loop, which is crazy.
It's totally nuts. And even just like that game's even fun to die in half the time. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget. I don't think I'll ever forget. I think I was streaming it with Zach, talking about I think you asked if like, what was the funniest way I died or something like that. And like, as I'm in the middle of describing it, I get hit by a lava planet.
He's shooting through space and he just barely clicked like the edge of the little lava moon. And I was like,
I just started cracking up. Like, it's just fun. And you don't feel bad because like you don't ever lose that much time.
Right. I mean, the one I damaged my ship, so I went to go out to repair it. I didn't have my space suit on. So I'm just repairing away and I just fall over and die. I'm like, oh, right. I should wear a space suit. I actually admit though, I was on the Ember Twin in the Sunless City, and I didn't realize like exactly what the sand filling up meant. So the first time I realized I was in a room and the sand was filling up and I was just going to die, I'm like, shit. Like, sucks. I'm not just gonna hit restart. I'm gonna play this out. I'm going to stare at the ceiling while I slowly get pushed up, crack and die. It was just cool. It was a cool way to die because I didn't realize that was going to happen to me.
Yeah, lost my spaceship once. Did that same thing.
It's what is that show called? The shitty show, 1001 Ways to Die or something like that.
It's just 1000 Ways to Die, yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking of 1001 Ways to Die in the West with Seth MacFarlane.
God, I wish I wasn't, but I think you're right.
I also wish you weren't because it was bad.
Yeah, I didn't.
I can imagine
why he's regretting thinking about it. Yeah.
No.
All right. I think
do we want a rapid fire or something and just say a good bad?
All right, sure. Let's do a round of rapid fire real fast. Zach, start us off real quick.
I knew nothing about Dead Rising going into it. I bought it used for $20. Blew my mind how good that game was. Game that surprised me how bad it was, I guess Sea of Thieves, because at the beginning there wasn't much to do. I played for about 2 hours and I was like, dang, well, there's the game. I've seen it all.
All right, Fish.
That's all I got.
a good one, Metro 2033. I came expecting a Fallout clone. I left with Russian existentialism.
Get out of my fucking head, dude. What the
got you, bro. the bad Skyrim. Everything about it is identical after the first 25 minutes.
Well, at least you didn't say Breath of the Wild.
Defer.
No, I actually enjoyed
move that. On before we go into that fucking black hole.
All right, he keeps doing it. I'm fucking bringing it up.
That's why I'm moving it along.
Infamous 2. Found that game surprisingly enjoyable, and I think the ending was actually very heartfelt for a game I wasn't expecting to care that much about. And then the negative side, I actually still think this is a really good game, but I was surprised at how much I didn't enjoy the combat in Astral Chain, despite it being from a company that usually makes games where I love the combat.
I've heard that before. That like
I still overall like the game, and I don't think the combat's bad. I just surprised that it was worse than older games they've made.
Yeah, that's I agree with that. Let's see, a couple rapid fire ones for me. Cuphead got like super hyped, didn't think it would live up to it. It totally does. That surprised me. Didn't expect that.
So good.
Mega Man Legends / Mega Man 64.
I mean, it's sure.
So, for a couple reasons. Picked it up. Didn't realize it wasn't 2D. That's the first thing. I just knew it was a Mega Man game. I didn't fucking look it up in Nintendo Power Game Informer. I was just like, I'm gonna play this Mega Man game. Oh, this is not Mega Man. Well, it's Mega Man, but not really.
Yeah.
So, that was shocking. But then I was surprised again when it was good. So...
I think that game is actually the Sonic Adventure of
It's campy. It's real campy.
It's, I would say it's maybe not great looking back on it, but at the time I love that.
I replayed it recently, in the past few years, and I still enjoyed it. It's just like campy, whereas like Sonic's too far to be campy. Like it's too far bad to be campy. And then another real quick one, Beat Saber. Very surprised at how much I knew I would like it. I was surprised that I liked it enough to go out and buy a VR headset after playing it.
It's really good.
That's it. That's all.
Cool.
Unless anyone has another real quick one. Close out the show.
That's good for me.
Do it Spec Ops: The Line is the obvious one.
All right, thank you for sure.
2018, so good.
I wanted you to say it. I'm glad you read my mind again.
Got you, buddy.
All right. So, anyone have anything to plug before we wrap up?
Be on the lookout for my video on the history of Flash games. Should be up sometime next week.
Don't be on the lookout for D&D next week, because everyone fucking hates me.
We're going to do it.
Just Hayao hates you.
We'll see about it.
Fill out your character thing. If you're in the chat.
You're still watching.
I had all the information you needed, like, 12 hours after you asked for it.
That's true. Yeah, I was still in the chat. Drag him.
Drags, man.
Anything for you, Dupper? All right. I don't have anything. Go play Ghost of Tsushima. It's fun and beautiful and new. For shot. If you have a PlayStation.
Yep.
That's all I got. With that, if you're watching live, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Then round the controller. Catch you next time.